It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We all think about there being a glut of lawyers, but the vast majority of people say that their legal needs go unmet, that they can't afford legal representation. But they don't qualify for legal services either. So they go without a will, a divorce, a custody agreement, or they end up representing themselves. Joining us now to discuss the availability of pro bono legal services is Pitt Law Professor David Harris and Barbara Griffin, pro bono coordinator for the Pro Bono Center of the Allegheny County Bar Foundation. Thank you to both of you for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
It's good to be with you, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
David, what can you tell us about unmet legal needs in Pennsylvania, both the percentage of the needs unmet and the types of needs?
Paul, it's really astounding. When you open by saying we think of there being too many lawyers, all you have to do is look at the legal needs of people who are in poverty. We think of everybody as having access to legal aid offices and free help that way. But in fact, of the people who have legal needs in the United States generally, and Pennsylvania follows this pattern, 80% cannot get any help at all. So that's one out of five actually gets some legal services. Even if you just look at the people who come into legal services offices, for every one person served, one person is turned away. So the great majority of legal needs of just everyday folks, people who can't afford lawyers, go unmet. And that's family law, it's bankruptcy, it's being evicted, it's mortgage foreclosure. And these are devastating events in people's lives, and then they have to go without the essential services of a lawyer.
And the role of legal problems and services in the lives of poor and the working poor, it plays a big part. Explain how that role affects so much.
Well, all you have to do is just think about how people have to live and work and maintain their families. All of those things you can come to a crossroads in your life where you have a serious legal problem that can cause you all kinds of trouble. Maybe it's a child custody issue. Maybe it's wanting to get a divorce and you can't afford a lawyer for it. Maybe it's a potential employment discrimination case, losing your housing, having somebody foreclose on your mortgage. All of these things can be very, very disruptive to your life. They can stop you from having a place to live, having a place to work. And all of that creates incredible stress and can disrupt the daily life. Think of the children involved. Think of the people who cannot get these services. Their lives end up being shaken and they are stressed and can sometimes even become ill.
What kinds of efforts is the Pitt Law School engaging in on a pro bono basis to meet the needs of the community?
Well, I'm glad to say that our law school takes a leading role in providing legal services here in Pittsburgh. We run six different clinics that serve low-income persons, and they are everything from a taxpayer clinic, an elder law clinic. We do a family law clinic that reaches a lot of people, an environmental law clinic that will represent individuals or small agencies who can't afford things, a health law clinic, an immigration clinic, and coming in the spring, we're starting a veterans law clinic. In addition, our students have a wide variety of externships, many of which involve representing people of low income who could not otherwise afford to have legal representation. And we work with the Allegheny County Bar Association in their pro bono activities to organize activities, bring services. Even this, though, even that kind of extensive effort where students are helping, they're getting good experiences, helping people who really need the help, it's not enough. We still have to have involvement of people in the legal profession.
Barbara Griffin, certainly there is a need for pro bono legal services in Allegheny County. Just talk about how enormous that is.
Yes, thank you. There are two things that are happening right now that are really creating a crisis in legal services. On the one hand, you have a poor economy. So we have growing numbers of people who are in need, who are facing crises, and some of them involve legal issues. So we have a growing number of poor. And at the same time, legal services organizations have faced a great deal of funding cuts. Our local legal services provider, it's called Neighborhood Legal Services Association. They've experienced cutbacks in close to $1 million over the last couple of years. They've had to lay off staff attorneys and had to close offices. So we're seeing more people in need and reductions in services. So that's where volunteer attorneys can step in. So what our programs do at the Pro Bono Center is recruit and train volunteer attorneys to take cases that might previously have been handled by legal services organizations that are facing these cutbacks. So there's a huge need right now.
And we'd like to invite our listeners, if they have a comment or question to ask of either of our guests, David Harris or Barbara Griffin, you can call us at 412-246-2002 if you have particular legal questions on this issue or others. 412-246-2002, the number to call. Also, our email address is ESSPGH@WESA.FM. And you can always reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Should there be, Barbara, should there be a right to counsel in certain civil issues?
Well, that's a good question. We talk to hundreds of people a year who crawl into the pro bono seeking legal help, and sometimes they're facing a problem and they're going to have to go to court, and there's no one to help them, and they're distraught, and they say, "Don't I have a right to a lawyer? How can this be that I have to go into court and face the opposing party who's got a lawyer? How can this be?" So it's an issue that's being debated right now in Pennsylvania. And in fact, State Senator Stuart Greenleaf is going to hold a hearing in Pittsburgh on October 29th. And there'll be members of the business community, legal service providers, many people talking about this particular issue. Should we establish the right to counsel when an individual is facing loss of their home, loss of their child, loss of public benefits, really needs that affect their standard of living, their basic way of life? So,
David, should we have a Gideon-like right to state-paid legal counsel in civil cases for those who can't afford lawyers?
Well, that's the question that Barbara and her group are struggling with. You know, we have for criminal cases, that's that Gideon case in the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution says you have a right to be represented by counsel when you're facing charges of a crime. There is no such constitutional right for civil representation for these kinds of problems we've been discussing. So you wouldn't find it in the Constitution, but any state can make a law that says that there shall be such a right and to look for funding and resources to do that. It would be, in my opinion, a very good thing, because the utilization of the legal system is what we want people to do. We don't want them to resort to any kind of self-help in terms of solving their own problems. When there's a legal problem, we want a legal solution. But it isn't right that people go into that so often with one or both hands tied behind their backs. When you have a legal system like ours, which is an adversary system where people are putting on opposing evidence, challenging each other, to have one side represented by a lawyer but not the other has an inherent unfairness to it. And Pennsylvania can and should recognize that in its own laws, whatever the Constitution says, and make provisions for it.
And then there comes the question of who should pay for this, and should legal service – I'll toss this up to either of you, Barbara or David. Should legal services be publicly funded?
Well, it's a tough question, because we're struggling with public funding in a variety
of
sectors.
Yeah.
But our Supreme Court Justice Ronald Castile has said that there ought to be a line item in the budget so that legal services in certain critical areas are funded, just like roads and police officers. It's an important issue.
I would agree. I mean, if you don't fund these sorts of needs, even in a climate where every public agency is hurting a lot, you are going to unbalance the system. And I think every person, whether they have unmet legal needs or not, has a concern and a stake in that. We want the system to act in a fair way.
Do attorneys have a duty to provide pro bono services?
They do. It is not, strictly speaking, a duty. It is more that they are encouraged in Pennsylvania to do this. There is no strictly There's no thing that says you will do so many hours of pro bono services. Isn't that right, Barbara?
That's right. It's not a mandatory duty, but it's something that we encourage attorneys to do and try to help them to do. So we, as I said, offer them training, help them to handle the types of cases that low-income clients are seeking help with. So we have programs to help lawyers do that, but it's not mandatory yet.
And again, if you have a comment or question about any of the services available, we are talking about the availability of pro bono legal services. Here with us, engaging in our conversation, Pitt Law Professor David Harris and Barbara Griffin, pro bono coordinator for the Pro Bono Center of the Allegheny County Bar Foundation. Our number is 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. Here's an interesting question. Should attorneys convicted of a crime be made to do pro bono services as some sort of a community service?
That is a good question, Paul. I think there are real issues and problems with it, because if they're convicted of a crime, there may be reasons, depending on the crime, not to trust the services that they would provide. So it would depend. If an attorney has been convicted of some kind of substance abuse-related crime and they are in rehab and complying with their programs, that might be something that they could do as a community service. On the other hand, if they're convicted of stealing from clients or some kind of other theft, I wouldn't want them involved in this.
Yeah, the attorney-client relationship is a fiduciary special relationship, and one thing that we stress in our volunteer programs is that we expect our volunteer attorneys to provide the same level of quality service to their clients as if they were a paying client. Mm-hmm. The responsibility to act effectively for that client is the same whether they're paying you or not. So it's an interesting question, but something that would have some serious consideration.
There is a perception among many Americans that the legal system is a game, and much as is the case with professional sports, a lot of times the owner who has the most money that can buy the best players is going to win. So along with that analogy goes the perception that if you have the money to pay for good legal counsel, if you have the financial resources at your disposal, you're going to get a fair trial and you're going to be able to get the kind of access to the legal system and fairness that someone who doesn't have resources is not going to get. So with that perception being out there, how do you as legal professionals deal with that?
Well, it's true that people with resources can always expect and purchase better levels of service. But let's remember, the Yankees aren't even in the playoffs this year. So, to carry the sports analogy a little further. But what we're talking about is not necessarily making every team like the Yankees or making every person who's got a legal problem giving them the best lawyer possible. What we're talking about is a basic level of fairness, because as I said, when you have a legal system that depends on the ability to challenge, that's what cross-examination is, that's what putting on your own evidence is, you can't have one side systematically disadvantaged. This is true in the criminal system and it's true in the civil system. So we owe it to ourselves. It's a matter of our own values, I think, to have a fair system, and a fair system requires, when it's set up in an adversary way, that we have representation for both sides as a matter of fairness.
Right. So our courts are open. People can represent themselves, but people who represent themselves still have to follow the same rules that lawyers have gone to law school for 3 years, studied for the bar exam, and maybe have practiced. So
right,
they don't have a level playing field.
David's been here to talk about that, in fact, and it doesn't usually go very well. So
that's right.
So again, what a lot of people feel is that if they don't have some financial resources at their disposal, they're not even going to get fairness, let alone the best legal help out there, but simple fairness within the legal system.
Well, that's right. And that, I think, is what we should focus on. If people are in a position where they have no access to the expertise that a lawyer provides for even basic kinds of legal disputes, they are at a disadvantage. I always think of it as, you know, I know nothing about electricity. I wouldn't rewire my own house. I mean, I'd be asking for it because my house had burned down or I'd electrocute myself. I would not recommend that anybody who could do otherwise represent themselves in court. There are skills involved. There's specialized knowledge. And if we want to have a system that is truly fair, we don't owe everybody the best of the best, but we owe them enough so that everybody has a reasonable chance at representation.
And how does it work in other countries? And is there a country that we that you might have looked at and say we should pattern ourselves after? Or is the U.S. system, despite these flaws, still the best there is?
Well, it does work differently in other countries. All countries have different legal systems. And I'll give you one example. In the last few years, the U.K. has made a change in their law practice rules that allow for the education and certification of people who are trained to do basic kinds of legal services, doing a will, doing a simple divorce, doing a child custody thing. They're not full lawyers. They're kind of like nurse practitioners are to doctors.
So you can get them at a reasonable rate.
You get reasonable rate. And in fact, you can go into their equivalent of Walmart, which is Tesco, and you can go to the counter to get legal services. And it is just beginning to be thought about here in the United States. Washington State has an alternative category like this that they are just opening up. And I think that has great promise to bring legal services to more people. But even if we do that, we're going to need legal services for people who are indigent, who are really poverty-stricken. That won't go away, but part of the need could be addressed through this new category of professionals.
Barbara Griffin, Pro Bono Week will be celebrated later this month, October 21st through the 25th. Lots of events going on. We're just about out of time, but are there some things you want to highlight for us?
Well, one thing that supports Pro Bono Week is Pro Bono Rocks. It's going to be an event where lawyers put down their briefcases and pick up their guitars on November 9th at Dave & Buster's at the waterfront. So you'll have a battle of the attorney bands coming up. And we have some events to thank our volunteer attorneys for all they do for us all year long.
And if you just get Bono for Pro Bono Week, then you have a real rocking event. I want to thank both of our guests for being with us. Barbara Griffin, Pro Bono Coordinator for the Pro Bono Center of the Allegheny County Bar Foundation, and Pitt Law Professor David Harris, who is a frequent guest. As always, a pleasure. And Barbara, nice having you with us on the program for the first time.
Thank you very much.
Good to be with you, Paul.
Coming up, with the Pirates' recent success, can Pittsburgh be considered a baseball town again? Our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, joins us next. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.